Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. What a great day to be in the Lord's house. It's been beautiful, and it's been a wonderful day to be alive in the kingdom of God. We want to celebrate. There were two that were baptized this morning out of the Spanish service. We're going to give them a 1.5 because one of them was Vincent. And because he was in the Spanish service when it got on him, we're going to call him Vicente, and we're going to let him have a 0.5 on that. And I kind of chuckled because Martin and George were praying for him in Spanish when they were praying for him after he came up out of the water. And I don't know, you have to check with Maria, but I don't know if he understands a lick of that. At least he acts like he doesn't understand his mom when she talks to him, but that's normal with most kids. But we celebrate with them. They're gaining some momentum and some good things are happening in Spanish church. Be praying for them. It won't be long. We'll have to blow out the wall between the rooms, and then we'll move them into the gym, and then it's going to get crazy. So that's looking, that's just feeling really good. So it's excellent, excellent to be in the Lord's house tonight. You want to remember as we're praying, let's continue to remember to pray for Amber. Did we have anybody stand in for Amber tonight? Let's do that right now. Mallory, we're glad you're here. Why don't you come and stand in for Amber, and then some of you young ladies lay your hands on her and just pray for her. And all over the house tonight, let's pray Amber. God bless her and strengthen her and prosper her and continue to use her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, lay your hand on her. God, cause her to prosper. God, bless her. Keep her. Let your angel stand with her. Bless those babies she's working with, oh God. Bless that orphanage, God. Strengthen them. Supply all their needs according to your riches in glory, mighty God. And do it in the name above every name. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Praise God. And we have something else that's kind of special tonight. Brother Kendall's been with us now for the better part of 2 years? Yeah. And he's been going to dental school and down at UAB. And tonight he's kind of frazzled and out of his mind because he just got finished with a 14 or 15 hour testing regimen for his license for dentistry. And he is now officially certified and bona fide and all of that. So before and after every service, we'll have him in a little kiosk out in the foyer, and he'll have a drill in his back pocket, and he can do some discount work. Not really. But we're so proud of you and so excited for what God's doing in your life, and we appreciate your faithfulness to the things of God while you're in the middle of a very trying time. So we appreciate that. And a lot of good things are going on there. And you may not remember that you were in church today just simply because your brain is half fried. But we'll remind you how we celebrated you and how wonderful we all thought it was. Okay. But it's so good to see young people achieving and growing and prospering in the kingdom of God and in their lives. And that's part of what God wants to do in you. He wants to grow you in every area of your life, and he wants you to prosper in your soul, in your spirit, and in all that you lay your hands to. Praise God. Good report on Anna today. We asked for prayer for her. She's been in ICU for a couple of days. Megan and Reggie's newest little girl. And she's out from under the light. She's getting good reports, and people have been holding her all afternoon. And she's bonding with the family and smiling. And she's beginning her journey into being pitifully spoiled. And that's a good thing. But I appreciate your prayers on that. We had some pictures of her this morning. I don't know if we're able to do that. Yes, we are able to do that. And there she is in all her splendor. Oh, big sister. Big sister's got her. There's a baby under that bow. Oh, big brother has her. And so everybody's fallen in love. So, wonderful things. New babies. It's raining babies. We got babies all over the place. Stella's starting to come to church now. We hope to convert her. And she was in church Sunday morning and Sunday night. So chances are really good that she's going to become an apostolic. So we're excited about that. Praise God. Well, tonight, we're also glad to have Dawson's mom and his sister and brother-in-law and his nephews in the house. Kay and Reagan and Kurt and the boys. So, we're glad you're there. And I gave them liberty to sleep during church because they just finished a drive from Colorado. So, but if you sleep here, you really need it. So, yeah, I don't mind at all. So, good to have family and friends. We're going to be in a holiday schedule this week. Obviously, Tuesday night will be our midweek service. And then next Sunday night, we won't have service because everybody will be OD'd on all the stuff that you ate. And you'll have to finish eating all the turkey and the dressing and all that stuff. And you'll just be kind of laid out. And family and friends will still be in town. And you'll be trying to get rid of the leftovers and the family and friends. And you'll be doing all that stuff. So next Sunday night will be family time. And everybody said amen. And here we go into the holy days, the holidays. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Don't you love the praise group and the wonderful work that they do, and the musicians, and appreciate them so much. Wonderful, wonderful work. Praise God. I was just thinking, Sister Tabitha told me a story right before church tonight about, it was Caleb, right? Yeah, Caleb met a gentleman down at Sister Tabitha's old childhood church, and he's in his 20s, and he was quizzing this 14-year-old about what he believed. And Caleb's a Bible quizzer, so he just started, bam, 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 and turned the guy's world upside down. And when he was done, he said, I need to talk to your pastor or somebody, you know. I think Caleb's doing a good job with him. Just, man, that's that guy's worst nightmare, is to stumble up on a real genuine apostolic Bible quizzer. Yeah, because he'll give him more word of God than he ever wanted to have. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. Praise God. Good things are happening. I don't see Darius and Quinn. Are they here tonight? I was talking to Brother Darius this week. He was having some testing done for a new job he started. The young lady was interested as to how he got the job. The guy, Darius, gives God all the praise and the glory for it. So she wants to talk about God, and they start talking about that. She said, God has been coming into the room with my 6-year-old and talking to him. And well, what did he say? Well, he was telling him he needed to be baptized. And she said he wants to go to church and be baptized. God is visiting with him, sitting on the side of his bed and telling him that. Isn't this a wonderful day? Now, the cynic, you can just sit down and shut up. I believe God talks to folks, and I really believe he talks to children. And I believe those folks are going to come, and that little guy is going to get baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We're starting Peter's second letter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you love his word tonight as you're seated, let's give him praise and let's thank him and praise him for all that he's doing, all that he's done. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for the privilege of handling your word in the house tonight. Have your way with us. Plant your word in our hearts and cause us to hear your voice and to know your ways, oh God. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday night? Amen. That's five of you. I'm glad. We got a pretty good thing going there. Praise God. So, Simon is writing to the church at large. This is a general epistle. It goes wherever he targets it. And he writes here to them that have obtained like precious faith or equally precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Anytime you see one of those compound titles, always know that the "and" that is in there, the conjunction that is there, is the Greek K-A-I, and it is always translated "and," but it can just as easily be translated "even." And when you're reading titles for God, it reads just as perfectly through the righteousness of God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just a little factoid there for you, an interesting little tidbit for you. He says that you have obtained like precious faith. You have to obtain this. It takes some active approach on the part of the individual. Jesus died for the whole world. But the whole world is not saved. The whole world is not able to live forever with God. For a fact, a lot of them have already gone on to an eternity that is without God. He died for the whole world, but the whole world is not saved. The story of the cross is the story of God coming to the earth. God himself coming to the earth to get what he wanted. The parable of the treasure in the field, if you're familiar with the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, the parable of the treasure in the field is the story of God giving his all to get or to purchase the treasure in the field, which is his church. Matthew 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has and buyeth the field. We learn in an adjoining parable that the field is the world, and God came and God bought the whole field so that he could find the treasure that was in the... He bought everybody in the earth. You might as well get on board. God's already bought and paid for you and your eternity. He's already paid for your sin and for your redemption. You might as well sign on with what God is doing. But he bought the field so that he could have the treasure, and the treasure is his church. But an adjoining parable we call the pearl of great price. And the pearl of great price is the story of mankind finding the greatest thing in the world and selling all, or selling out, if you would, and buying that. Matthew 13, 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. One end of the equation, God is selling everything, buying the whole world so that he can have an eternal relationship with you. On the other end, you have men and women who find that, who hear the good news, who find out about the gospel and the potential in the kingdom of God, and they say, I don't care what it costs, I don't care what I have to do, I'll sell everything that I have. And ultimately, you have to do that. It has to be a place in your mind where you're willing to sacrifice everything else, and God becomes core. God becomes the center of your universe. We've got to seek him and find him with purpose and obtain the kingdom of God. In Luke 14, he declares this to us. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He prefaces that by saying, you've got to hate your mama and your daddy and your brother and your sister, and yea, even your own own life. What does that mean? That means when it comes down to choices, you've got to choose God over everything and everybody else in your life. It takes effort. It takes a made up mind. It takes some energy, but it is obtainable, and you have to obtain this like precious faith. You've got to go on a personal campaign and say, I don't care if anybody else is coming, I'm going. It doesn't matter if anybody else is signing on, I'm going to sign up with God. I've made up my mind. Does anybody have a mindset like that tonight? We've got to get this. We've got to obtain this. Peter said, I'm writing to those who have obtained this like precious faith. You've got to get it. But once you get it, you've got to keep it. You've got to sustain it. But more, you have to grow it. Everything in the kingdom of God grows. Everything in the kingdom of God grows. People in the kingdom grow. Churches in the kingdom of God grow. Ministries in the kingdom grow. Families grow. Love and grace and faith and wisdom and all of the good things of life, they all grow in the kingdom of God. Is there an amen in the house? Is there a witness here? Have you found that God grew in you good things, that when you found the kingdom, you found good things, and that they've continually gotten better? I tell folks all the time, this thing gets better. You're excited about it right now. It gets better. It gets richer. It gets deeper. Is that the truth tonight? Is there anybody that can testify that God was good when we started, but he's better now, and I love what God is doing in my life? Well, praise God. Well, Isaiah says it this way, one verse past the Christmas verse of the child and the son and the mighty God and the everlasting Father. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He said what this God is going to do in the earth, what this Christ is going to do in the plan of God, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. And so the kingdom of God goes off in the world and it continues to grow. It gets deeper and wider and taller, and it expands in all dimensions. And when it goes off in your life, it gets deeper and wider and richer and better. And of the increase of his government and his peace, the controlling influence of the kingdom grows, his government grows, and his peace grows. Because the more you are tethered together and yoked together with God, your peace level grows. Is there a witness about that tonight? I want to tell you, I struggled coming into this thing. I had some things to turn loose of and some things to change, and I had to find a new identity. And for a while, I didn't know who I was, because I had to find out who God wanted me to be. But the further I go into this, the better this thing gets. Is there a witness in the house tonight? I love this business of living for God, and it gets better. And there is no end to the increase of it. There is a biblical expectation that God will grow in you, and that God will grow your life, and that God will grow his kingdom in you, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God's zealous about this. God wants you to grow. God wants your church experience to grow. God wants your ministry to grow. God wants you to grow in your family in regard to the things of God. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. You may be excited about obtaining it, but God's excited about giving it to you. You may be excited about receiving it, but God's excited about pouring it out on you. You may be excited about coming to God and asking for it, but God's excited to see you in his house, and he wants to bless your life. Somebody say amen. Earlier in the first letter of Peter, he says this in 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Everybody say, that you may grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is no end to the increase of his government and peace. There's no end to the increase of his government and peace. It's the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God to grow in everything that he's involved in. And the apostle says, when you start, you don't really understand a lot, but understand this, you need the sincere milk of the word of God. Thereby you may be able to grow. It is the purpose of God. So you got to get this. And you can't just come and sign a card and sign on for a Sunday morning each week for the rest of your life and think that that is the end and the means of having relationship with God. You need to understand God wants to invade every nook and cranny of your life. He'll talk to you while you're asleep. He'll talk to you on the job. He wants to come into the work of your hands. He wants to come into every relationship that you have. He wants to be involved in your business. He wants to be involved in your money. He wants to be involved in your love life. He wants to be involved in raising your babies. He wants to be involved in everything that you do. And he wants to continue to increase his involvement in your life, because as he increases, your life gets better. Whatever he's doing in your life gets better. And so here's a defining passage about the church and about ministry and about the fact that God has called you not only to form up spiritually and to find your identity in spiritual formation, but also to have the lights come on and to receive revelatory knowledge or revelation or vision, if you would, clarity about who you are, what you're doing. And then out of that organically comes mission, the job, whatever God has for you, the task at hand. It's true for an individual. It's true for a church family. And so here's some of the structure that God gives us in order to accomplish that, and some of the sequence that is involved in that governance of God and the growth of God's people and God's church. Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 11. Are you okay? Okay, you're not crazy with the impending holidays or anything like that. Okay. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. This is the classic fivefold ministry. More or less, every ministry you find in terms of oversight of the church is going to be involved in some of this. These are the primary methodologies for the delivery of the word of God. And verse 12 said, this is these five areas which blur around the edges, and they're not like siloed off from one another. They blur into one another. Verse 12, for these things, these ministries, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting is maturing, but a better translation here probably is the equipping. The fivefold ministry is a facilitating ministry for the perfecting or for the equipping of the church, to give you what you need, to equip you so that you can be what God has called you to be. For the perfecting, the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Everybody say, for the work of the ministry. Fivefold ministry facilitates you so that you can be involved. Ministry. God's got ministry for you. The only alternative to that is that you just soak up all the blessings of God and you become a dead sea. And God touches you and God blesses you and God pours out his kingdom on your life and in your life, but you don't have an outlet. So like the Dead Sea that receives the beautiful Jordan River and all of its potential and life-giving flow, it's the lowest point on the earth, so it doesn't have an outflow and it just becomes a toxic stew that nothing can live in, and it doesn't help anything. Isn't that incredible? When all you do is get blessing, get blessing, get blessing, you turn toxic. But when you are there and you're letting blessings flow through you and you become conduit for for the kingdom of God, you become the fulfillment of God's discussion with Abraham. I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God's got a plan to bless you, but his plan is through you to bless others. He never intended for it to be dammed up and locked up in your life. It will kill you. It'll destroy you. You've got to find your identity. You've got to find your formation. You've got to get the vision, and you have to find mission. You've got to find your job in the kingdom of God and in the house of God. And they are many. There are so very many of them. But God has something for you. And everything that you do, God wants to flow through it. If you have a craft or a trade, God wants to flow through that. If you have the responsibility of raising babies, God wants to flow through that. If you are involved in some formal ministry or some team ministry, God wants to flow through anything you're involved in. You belong to Him, and He wants to be a part of everything that you're doing. That's why you don't want to be involved in anything that wouldn't be fit to bring God in, because God wants to be involved in everything that you do. So the perfecting of the saints, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body, that's the building up of the body, that's the growing up of the body. So God wants to pour out this and use the methodology of the fivefold ministry to equip you so that you can grow in ministry, so the whole body is built up or grows up. And here's some of what develops after that. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a mature man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. All of this has the language of growth associated with it. Until we get to the place we're growing in faith, we're growing in knowledge, we're growing to a well-equipped man or woman, we're growing to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. He said, you began as a child. You begin in the kingdom of God as a baby, but you can't stay that way. You can't stay like a baby in the kingdom of God. God intends for you to grow and take on your responsibility in the house. No more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in to Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Everybody say, grow up. Grow up into Him, which is Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted or strengthened by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. It makes increase of the body so that it can be edified. It can grow. It can be built. It is woven through like the tapestry of the Word of God. This is a thread, this is a color, a theme that runs through the totality of the Word of God. God wants you to grow. God wants the church to grow. God wants everything you're involved in the house of God to grow. Everybody say amen. So in verse 2 in our text, Peter's talking about the fact that grace grows. He said, I want you to grow in grace and in peace. I want it to be multiplied. I don't want it to grow by ones and twos. I want it to grow in multiplication. You can grow grace. You can grow peace. We kind of have an idea about what peace is, but the peace of God is greater than our comprehension. But grace is something that theologically has kind of fallen on hard times in these modern days. But I want you to know grace comes from the same root word in the Greek that gift comes from. It's charis. It's the gift of God, the charis of God. I want you to grow in the gift of God. I want you to grow. It has to do with an anointing. It has to do with an unction. It has to do with an empowering from God to you to do what God has called you to do. It's not just about God winking at your sin or forgetting about your sin. Some say grace is the unmerited favor of God. Well, that is in a part what grace is, but it's become embraced in a wholesale fashion to the demise of a very biblical concept that says grace is the power of God working in you to accomplish what God has called you to do. And here Peter says that grace needs to grow in you. It needs to be multiplied in you. The giftedness of God needs to grow in you, and the peace of God. So this is what Peter says in our text. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace is charis. Grace is giftedness. It's favor. It's anointing. It's an endowment. And grace and peace are multiplied in our text by the knowledge of God. You want more grace in your life? You got to get to know him better. You've got to get more knowledge about him and about his kingdom. And that's why the fivefold ministry is so important to you. They typically will be the source or the facilitating influence in your life for the gaining of more knowledge about the things of God. It befuddles me to no end that people walk into the shallows of an experience with God and they have no greater desire than to stand in the shallows and be satisfied with that. But the word of God will tell you, you can't stay like a child in the kingdom of God. There's a mandate in the kingdom. You're going to have to grow up. God's got some work for you to do. And Peter's teaching us here that grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God. We've been spending a lot of time on that recently in conversation in theology class and otherwise. Talk about it in Bible study. I've talked about it here in services. But when we look at spiritual growth and achieving in the kingdom of God, we quite often go to Paul's letter to Corinth and we read that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so some folks think about strongholds as demonic things and witchery and sorcery and evil things and where they are, who knows. But that's not what Paul deals with here. He talks about strongholds, and every feature that he deals with is right here. He deals with knowledge and thoughts and imaginations. But that really is where the battle is, and it's really where the strongholds are developed. Anything of any consequence in the kingdom of God is developed right here. But strongholds are not inherently negative. They are also can be very positive. And if you're going to live for God, you've got to develop some very strong things in your mind, in your knowledge base, and in your thought life, and in your imagination, or if you would, your vision. Here the apostle is telling you this growth business begins with the growth of knowledge. I want more of him. I want to see more of him. We talked recently about the portals by which we engage God, the portals by which we engage the things of the Spirit. They are classically prayer and praise and the word of God. Very simple things. We had an apostle visit on one occasion and talked to our theology class before he came and ministered in the pulpit. And essentially what this man, who has raised up hundreds of churches and thousands of people living for God, I would say tens of thousands of people living for God throughout Central America and Mexico, the man is an apostle in our day. And the essence of what he told the theology classes was, read your Bible and pray. And that sounds so simple, and people would rather hear about angels and miracles and prophecy and all of that. But I want you to know it's day to day, one foot up and one foot down, victory after victory, and it's going to come here in these places where you go out of yourself and into the Spirit, and you obtain things in the Spirit, in prayer, in praise, in the Word, and you bring it back into your world, and you actualize it in your world, and you make it real in your home and in your relationships and in your families. And when you're here in your real world and you need more of God, you go back out into prayer. You go back out into the Word of God. You go back out into praise, and you get stuff just as surely as when they were crossing Jordan to go into promise. They crossed Jordan and God opened up the waters, and there in the bed of the river, they took stones and built memorials. They got stuff out of where God had opened up a breach in the spiritual dynamic, and prayer opens up a breach. I don't know what you need tonight, but I know where the answer lies. The answer lies in prayer. Go out into the Spirit. Go out into the Word of God. Go out into praise and worship. Antoine was talking tonight about guys that are chained up to the wall in the depth of the prison at midnight, and they've been beaten and been abused, and they say, you can lock my body up and you can lock me up in this dungeon and you can beat my body, but you can't keep me from going out to where God is. And when I get back, there's going to be trouble in the jailhouse because I'm going out. And they just begin to shake their chains and praise and magnify God, and the earth began to shake. Prayer's not a duty. Prayer's not a drudgery. Prayer's not some observance that I have to attend to so that I can count it off of my checklist of things to do not to go to hell. Prayer is not some Catholic ritual where I go and light candles and say 20 Hail Marys. Prayer is a door that God has given me to come into his house and to interact with him and get stuff. Anybody here needs stuff from God? You need something from God? My God, why don't we give him a little praise right now and magnify him? Let's go out into the Spirit. Let's go out into what God has. Let's go out into God's tool shed. Let's go out into God's storehouse. Praise God. You can go out and, is there a witness in the house? You can go out into God's stuff and get things and bring them back into your world. And things begin to change. The knowledge of God. Knowledge is the base. Thought life comes out of that. And vision and imagination rise up out of that. It is sequential. Everything depends on your knowledge base. And what Peter's teaching us here, you have to grow your knowledge base. You have to learn about God. Grow in God. Don't be stunted. Don't restrict yourself. Develop an appetite for it. Look for venues. Discipline yourself. Grow in God. Praise God. He said you can have more grace and more peace by more knowledge of God. Verse 3 in our text. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. Everybody say all things. That pertain unto life and godliness. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got everything I need. Tell him, because God has given me all things that pertains to life and godliness. God's given me everything I need to live my life, work my job, raise my kids, do all the ministries he's called me to do, and to live a godly life before him and please him. I've got everything I need. He's given it to me. Well, not necessarily. He's made it available, but he's done the work. You've got to obtain it. You've got to go out and get it. You've got to begin to actualize it and make it work. So everybody here has the same vast potential in the kingdom of God. Everybody here, just like you are living for God and you're planning on going to heaven, your neighbors have avoided that decision, and so their destination is in question at this point. But it's simply a matter of them exercising will and taking advantage of what God has made available. And for folks who live at a level that is mediocre in spiritual terms, it's just a matter of will and choice that they do that, because you can grow yourself in the kingdom of God. You can go out and get things and bring them back and grow in the knowledge of God, because God has given me everything I need according to his will that pertains to life and godliness. Now, how many of you have a need for something? You just need something. It's not weak or bad or in any way negative to say you need stuff if you're growing and you're living and you're, even if you're prospering in every way. Most of us need something. Our needs are not necessarily like people that are in third world poverty and sickness and destitution and all. We live in a very wonderful place. And we're afforded a lot of blessings that people in other more challenging situations don't have. But we have needs. Do you believe tonight that God has the answer to every one of your needs? The Word of God says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everybody say all things. God has given us most things that pertain to life and godliness. Unfortunately, the thing you need, he has not made available at this time, but keep watching, he may make it most things, some things, half the thing. No. He's made available all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's got your thing. He's got the thing that you need. He's got the thing that you're searching for. Do you believe that tonight? God's got everything I need. God has everything I need. And I've got an open door, and I can go out to where he is, and I can touch and appropriate those things. Do you believe that tonight? My God, somebody ought to get a little bit happy about that. And you ought to tell somebody, God has everything that I need. Does anybody have a plan? You've got a vision of what you're going to do and what God wants you to do, but you're a little bit worried about the lack in yourself personally, or the lack of resource, or the lack of opportunity, or the lack. The lack list is a million miles long. But don't be reading the lack list. Get up and read God's list. Whatever it is on the list, God's got it. God's got it covered. So whenever God says move, you just move. When God says go, you go. When God says do, you do. And when you're obeying God, don't ever look back. And don't ever hesitate, because God's got everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it's not just that he has them. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us everything that we need. Now turn to your neighbor and quote Paul and say, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, how many of you believe that? You've got a need, but I've got a God. You've got a need, is what Paul's saying. But I've got a God, and my God, he's going to take care of it all. Praise God. So in the morning, what you need, there's a cabbage truck coming by. It's just going to fall off the cabbage truck. I haven't seen a cabbage truck in a long, long time. I don't even know if they exist. It's just one of those Southern axioms. Well, he didn't fall off a cabbage truck. But Matteo, will it come and fall off a truck in front of your house? Will it be airlifted in? Will someone just ring the doorbell and bring it? How does the acquisition of the things of God that pertain to life and godliness, how does that system work? How do you get the wherewithal to live these days? Service First Bank. We'll take a moment for a special ad for our bank, Service First Bank. These are the gracious people that financed the purchase of this wonderful building that we're having in church tonight. And we appreciate Service First Bank. And Matteo, he works for Service First Bank. And so you just sit home and twiddle your thumbs, and they write you a check every week. That's faith. He said, I'll do it. That's like people that come in church and they just dance and they think God's going to pour out stuff on them just because they dance. It's a more complicated system than that. I'm glad you're dancing. But you've been hooked by, I'm going to get my blessing. I'm going to get my blessing. And you sleep in and you don't work and you don't study and you don't grow and you don't prosper because of all that. And God says, I'm not going to be involved in that. I mean, I like the way you dance, but that's a part of an overview. That's a part of a greater scheme. So what do you do exactly to go and get them to write you that check? You go to work. You show up on time. You follow their protocol. You act according to their culture. You obey their dictates. You submit your life to them for a certain portion of your day. There's all kinds of things involved in that, but you've got to go and get that thing. Listen to me. You can't get a check from McDonald's. You can't get a check from anywhere without going and being a part of the system that is established that produces the revenue that writes that check. And if you're going to work and live in the kingdom of God, you absolutely have to come and submit yourself to the system of God and the protocols of God and the framing of God and the dictates of the kingdom of God. You can't live outside what the word of God has called you to be and expect God to pour out things on you that you are not entitled to receive. You are not going to receive a check from Service First this week. You get one from somebody, but it won't be for them. Why? Thank you for answering for him. Because you don't work for Service First. You're not in contract with them. You're not in covenant with them. You're not submitted to them. They ain't writing you a check. You get one from somewhere, from Paul or somebody. I don't know what the company's name is. Let's do an advertisement for Paul. No, we're not. But you get it. You got to be on the job for God. You got to be growing in the kingdom of God. You've got to be with it. You've got to be plugged in. You have to submit yourself to the plan and the protocols of God. He has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him. You get it at the new birth. You're entitled to it at the new birth, but you've got to grow into it and you've got to go and get it. You get it by knowledge. You get it by understanding. You've got to pursue the things of God. That's why the devil wants you to be satisfied with trinkets and diversions and blind alleys and little nonsense things. That's why the devil wants you to be sitting there with drool running down your lip, on Facebook or working some senseless, mindless thing on your computer because you don't have anything productive to do in your life and you're living vicariously through all kinds of other things. That's why I want you to sit and watch grown men run up and down a field. That was popcorn. That's why I want you to be passionate and engaged and involved in all of those kinds of things. Because when you're involved in that, you spend your time, which is your life, doing things that are not productive for you. And they're not building you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so your grace and your peace and all the good things of God are not growing in your life. But you've got to make some decisions. That's what he meant when he said, you've got to go to the cross. You've got to take some things like an hour on Facebook and put that on the side or in the trash. You've got to take other things like fascination with worldly and secular entertainment and put that on the side. I only have so much time and so much life, and I've got to put it in places that are going to build me in the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. He wants you to be bogged down with all the details, and he wants you to be choking on simple things. You know, Israel spent a lot of time going in circles out in the wilderness. And all the while they were going round and round a mountain out in the wilderness, dying in the wilderness, round and round, doing the same thing over and over again. The promise is sitting there waiting for them. The promise, houses they didn't build, lands they didn't develop, crops they didn't plant, vineyards they didn't dress. All of that is waiting for them. It is the way, it is the promise of God. They could have walked into it, but it was too complicated for them. They were afraid of it. They wouldn't move. Their knowledge base was weak. It was full of fear and erroneous things. They didn't know that God was able, and they didn't know that God was true, and they didn't know that God had prepared it all for them. They thought that Pharaoh was still alive, and they thought that they were still back in Egypt, and they thought like the world they had left, and so they didn't appropriate the promise of God to their lives. And God has something for you, but if you're following after mindless, silly things, and you're going round and round in a wilderness of non-production, you're not ever going to appropriate the promise of God to your life. Somebody needs to wake up in this house and say, I want everything that God has for me. Paul said they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea just like you were baptized. He says they had an experience with God. They all ate the same spiritual meat. They all drank the same spiritual drink. He teaches the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He tells them, but they died in the wilderness because of unbelief with the promise of God sitting there ready and prepared. I want to tell you everything I'm talking about tonight is prepared for everybody in this building. Everything God has, he has it for you. The eternity of fellowship with God, a thousand years of working on staff with God, a mansion in glory, everlasting life, the cleansing of sin, blessings while you walk in this world, an anointing to do what God has called you to do. Everything God has for anybody, he has for you tonight. But you won't get it by traversing in circles around the same old things you're you're going to have to shake yourself and learn something new and change your knowledge base so that you can change your thought life, so that you can change your imagination and your vision and get up out of wherever you are and make your way into the promise of God. Anybody believe God's got something great for you? I believe God's got something great for you. But you can die in the wilderness going in circles, and the promise is always out of reach. But you can have more of what pertains to life and godliness by growing your knowledge. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David said, "I want more. I want more. I want to see him." David is a man after God's own heart, and David's not perfect, but David, because of his great desire, is lifted up as the metric by which God gauges all other kings of Israel and Judah. "One thing have I desired, I will seek after." You've got to be proactive. You have to appropriate this to yourself. "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." You need to be at church so much the neighbors say, "You live down at that church. Y'all going to church again? You live down there. You might as well put a little bed down there at that church. Why you go to church so much?" I go once a week. I go on Easter and Christmas and I'm saved. Why you go so much? You must doubt your salvation. You got to go to church so much. You want to make your neighbors and your relatives all say, "Those people live at," I don't know what else they do, but they live at church. You want to be involved in church so much that your neighbors and your friends and your family say, "Those people don't do anything but go to church." Well, we do a lot of other stuff. We're productive in a lot of other areas, but we want them to stand up and take note of the fact that we're busy acquiring the knowledge of God, and we want to appropriate it unto our lives. Praise God. David said, "I want to go there. I want to live there the rest of my life, all the days of my life. I want to see the beauty of it." When you come to the house of God, you got to have a mindset like David. If you're here and you're finding the faults and the flaws and all the failures of people, this is a church. It's full of people where you have humanity, you have failure, and you have trouble, and you have people that are imperfect. Get over that and begin to look at the beauty of what God is. He said, "When I go to the house of God, I'm going to behold the beauty of it." You've got to cross over and start looking at the things of God. This is so fantastic. Now, some of our teenagers won't believe this, but as the pastor of this church, I know more about what's going on in this church than anybody here. I got the best overview, and I've been working with some of you since you were babies. Boy, that went by in a hurry, didn't it? But you know, well, you know me. How do you see me? Am I negative and critical? Am I always whining and complaining, saying, "Church, things are terrible. We just got to, I don't know, the devil's winning and we're just going to lose and it's just bad and we're all going to die. Pray." Have I ever preached that to you? No, and when I meet you, I don't care if you've failed 100 times. I don't care what your condition is. I'm going to tell you God is able. And I'm going to tell you it's a good day to live for God. And I'm going to tell you it's a good day to be in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I choose to see the beauty of the house of God and the things of God. I'm not looking at your trouble. I'm looking at a God that is the answer to every problem that you have, everything that you need. Praise God. See the beauty of it. My goodness. He said, and to inquire in his temple. David said, I want to grow in the knowledge of him. And Peter said, you can grow in grace and in the gifts of God, and in the peace and in the promise of God. Paul talks about this. Lindsay, why don't you come play something about the growth experience that we have as we pursue the fine things of God, as we live for God here on the terra firma. She ignores me. She's smacking her gum and saying, I'm going to play what I want to play. No, she's not. She's a sweetheart. Some of you don't know that, but she's a sweetheart. And she is a blessing to the house of God. Praise God. Paul talks about this business of growth. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. All this work takes place on the inside. It's private victory, then public victory. It's internal strength and then demonstration of that strength. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, multidimensional, expanding kingdom of God, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, he's working on you. He's telling you, God wants to fill you up with all the fullness of God. He wants you to grow the height, the depth, the breadth. He wants you to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm telling you, you've got everything you need, and God's made it all available to you to grow dimensionally. God wants to make you better on your job. God wants to make you a better student. God wants to grow you as a husband. God wants to build you as a wife. He wants to make you a better dad, a better mom. God wants to grow you, and he can grow you in all of those areas. Grow you in grace or charis or giftedness or unction or anointing. He wants to make you more effective in the harvest. He wants to make you more effective in your active ministries, in the house of God and on the street where you interact with your city. God wants you to grow in spiritual strength. Paul says, I want you to grow in the inner man. You want to grow in your attachment to the church and in our corporate experience. We have a corporate comprehension here. There's some things that the church knows. It's interesting when we watch new people come in or visitors come in, and there's some things that you have to know. But Paul says you're going to comprehend this with all saints. There's some things that you can't get when you're separated from the body, when you're out there all by yourself. There's some things you can't know until you're tethered with the church. Come on, come on, come out of the shadows. Here they come. All right. There's a culture about the church. There's a nuance concerning how we work this and what goes on here and how it all develops. But there's some things only that you can comprehend with the saints of God. You got to be involved. God told Abraham, here's the promise, here's the land, walk up and down in it. We use that as a metaphor for, and I think it's a directive from the scripture, in everything we do in God, you have to walk up and down in it. There are some things you can know academically or intellectually, but there are some things you have to know experientially. You've got to walk up and down in this. You need to learn how to worship by worshiping. You need a foundation in the Word of God, but ultimately, you got to do this. You need to learn how to pray by praying. You need to learn how to go out into the Spirit by going out into the Spirit and testing and seeing and just walking up and down. And there's some things you can be taught, but there are other things that you have to, that can't be taught. They have to be caught. They have to be gotten out of the atmosphere. Everybody needs to be in the house of God on a Sunday night. Everybody needs to feel that and know that. Paul is teaching us there. I want you to know the length and the height and the depth. You got to walk up and down it to know those things. You got to practice this. You got to be at the house of God. Be engaged with the house of God. Preach with the preacher. Build yourself a prayer life. Learn how to be a worshiper of God. There's some special things that I think are classic to Sunday mornings. And there are some things that are classic to Sunday nights. It's the same place and the same people, but it's culturally and spiritually different in some way. And you won't ever attain everything you need by just being a Sunday morning visitor to the house of God. You need everything you can get out of the house of God. There's some things to be caught in altar services, and you can't get it back there seated on your seat. You need to get up and walk up and down in this thing. Walk all around this place. Buzz up in the altar area. Feel this out and see what God is doing. Get up next to somebody that's trembling and shaking and twitching and popping. And get up next and say, what is that, God? What's happening there? Get some of that on me, God. You got to be careful. Some of you are afraid that that's going to happen to you and you'll lose all control. But don't be afraid of it. God's good and God's going to do you good. But you need to get down in that altar. There's some things you can't be taught. They have to be caught, and you got to be in the place and walk up and down in it. Paul finishes this passage by saying, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm sorry, this is Peter. And as you grow your knowledge base and as you grow in grace and peace, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we can be partakers of the heavenly nature. These promises are like Abraham's promise. You have to walk up and down in them. Does anybody here believe that God has everything you need already prepared? You gotta plug in and get it. You've gotta reach for it. You've gotta learn about it. Praise God. So by continually growing in the knowledge of Him and in these things that He's made available for us, we have, as Peter says here, exceeding great and precious promises. And we become like the divine nature. So we become like Him. God has everything you need. Praise the Lord. Rodney, I'm so excited about you and your mom being in church. I really am. Rodney's plugged in, going to college, building his life right now, and he's gonna lay his hand on you. You just keep plugging in. You keep coming to this weird church where people twitch and shake and shout and talk in tongues. That's gonna get on you. And some people detach the two, but what you get here will go with you into the classroom and influence your GPA. I'm serious. You got to study. You got to be there. You got to apply yourself. Does anybody here believe that God makes you a better craftsman, that God makes you a better student, that God, has anybody had their GPA affected by their experience in God? Do things work better when you pray? Has anybody noticed that when I go out into the Spirit, life gets better in my house? Praise God. Let's come down around the altar tonight. And let's just seek the face of God. David said, I want to live at that temple and I want to inquire in His presence. I want to see the beauty of God in the house of God. Come on down to the altar tonight. Let's come like a big family down to the altar tonight. Let's get something from God. If you're here and you need the Holy Ghost, God will pour out His Spirit on you tonight. If you're here and you've never been baptized, God will wash every sin away tonight. Church, look around. There may be somebody near you that needs prayer tonight. Come on, God's got everything you need. He's my El Shaddai. Come on, somebody say, He will supply. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Everything that you need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Yes, He will. Come on, go out of yourself. Go out of yourself and into His place tonight. Go out of yourself and into the Spirit tonight. Somebody talk in tongues. Somebody launch out into the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody begin to worship Him. Somebody dig a well of prayer tonight and let it break up in your life.